the Polish population of Eastern Germany is suffering today under great persecution. This minority, numbering 1.5 million souls, though native to the area where it is settled, is deprived of all rights, even the right to live. One of the aims of the internal policy of National Socialism is the complete destruction or absorption of the Polish element. In order to follow this policy, action for the purpose of exterminating the Poles was taken up even at the time of her husband's declaration in 1937, which was concerned with a guarantee given to the Polish minority. Now, with the changed political conditions, the Germans have shown their true intentions. Almost all Polish organizations are now closed, all the documents sealed, while the premises are occupied either by German associations or simply the authorities. All commercial institutions, such as the Polish bank, cooperative societies, and such like, are being boycotted and systematically destructed with all the means at the disposal of the totalitarian regime. Those members of the Polish minority in Germany, whom even the German propaganda cannot accuse of being disloyal to the German state, are either being arrested without any apparent reason, or sent to concentration camps or compulsory work. Whole families of Polish peasants are expropriated of their land, and in that way driven into a state of complete destitution, so that at present hundreds of Polish families in the Reich are living in atrocious conditions and complete misery. The Poles are afraid of leaving their houses because of the impending danger of German bands of Agentowo Kartel. These bands are daily committing acts of terror in respect not only of the people themselves, but also their houses and farms. The Gestapo, or secret police, is continuously searching Polish houses. The Polish schools are closed and occupied by German troops, while the teachers and children have been driven away in lorries into unknown directions. The above-mentioned texts are never published by the German press, which uses so much space to the purely imaginary stories of persecution of the German minority in Poland. All protests and representations made by the Polish diplomats in Berlin remain totally unsuccessful and only were followed by new acts of terror. It is now the aim of Germany to exterminate completely and systematically the oppressed Polish people. The Polish president, Professor Ignacy Moszczycki, received today a telegram from King George VI, in which his majesty expresses his joy at the conclusion of the Anglo-Polish alliance and states that the pact will always stand for peace and justice, so beloved by the Polish and British nations. At today's meeting of the House of Commons in London, Mr. Chamberlain expressed his hope that peace may still be maintained, but at the same time he laid stress upon absolute firmness of the Britain in fulfilling her obligations towards Poland. In a late message from Berlin, we learn that Herr Hitler handed his answer to the British government to Sir Neville Henderson, British ambassador to Germany. The Polish news agency gives us the following information. The Slovak broadcasting system made an announcement after the German troops entered the Slovak territory, according to the Germano-Slovak Treaty of Protection, yesterday, in which it proclaimed the danger stretching from Poland and called upon the Slovak people to adopt a friendly attitude towards the German soldiers, their strong friends, and to collaborate with them in their struggle against the common foe. The moment chosen in Slovakia for proclaiming Poland an enemy of that state speaks for itself and shows that the Slovak government remains under the influence of a foreign power and is not in command of the situation. Poland cherishes no ill intentions towards the Slovak nations and states and has nothing but friendly feelings towards them, so that it feels itself compelled to warn the Slovak opinion against willful misrepresentation of the truth. The Polish government protested today most categorically to the Slovak minister in Warsaw and to the authorities in Bratislava against this proclamation and the unfriendly action against Poland. We We may add to this communique that the entry of German troops into Slovakia, now that the German mobilization is complete, threatens the frontier with Poland. The object of this incessant move of the German army is clear and obvious. It constitutes one more proof of planned armed aggression of the Third Reich against Poland. The governments of Belgium and the Netherlands expressed the governments of Poland, Germany, France, Great Britain and Italy the readiness of their monarchs, King Leopold and Queen Wilhelmina, to extend their good offices for the peaceful settlement of the present crisis. The reply of the Polish government referred to the telegram sent by the Polish President, Professor Moskitski, to President Roosevelt, in which this type of mediation was declared acceptable to Poland. While expressing its full admiration for the initiative taken up by the two monarchs, the Polish government refrained from giving a more detailed answer, seeing that all peace offers have so far remained ignored by Germany. The President of the Polish Union of Literati, Monsieur Ferdinand Gössel, dispatched an open letter to the famous Norwegian writer, Knut Hamsun, who recently wrote an introduction to a book entitled Danzig and What It Is All About, by Herr Karl Fuchs, head of the Danzig Propaganda Department. The 80-year-old Knut Hamsun is known for his pro-Nazi sympathies and his hostile attitude to Poland. Monsieur Gössel, drawing attention to the fact that Hamsun and his works are most popular in Poland, expresses his desire to consider the above-mentioned introduction to the Nazi publication a mistake. After having given a brief summary of the Polish point of view on the Danzig question, he goes on to suggest that it would have been sufficient merely to glance at a map before setting to write the introduction. The Polish problem is one of saving freedom, and not only the freedom of Poland, but also of other countries threatened by German imperialism, and Poland rightly expects from great writers who represent the conscience of the world a support for just rights. The Polish writers consider that the fact of Herr Hamsun's statement being on the wrong side is entirely due to a mistake. You've just heard the news. You will now hear a translation of a talk given yesterday by Major Lepetsky, former aide-de-camp of Marshal Piłsudski, entitled, We Are Not Persecuting Germans in Poland. The German propaganda is continuing to employ her old and tried-out method of thrusting on her own public opinion and that of foreign countries the information that terror is being directed at the German minority in Poland. This action, most reminiscent of last year's propaganda campaign, is taking up whole columns of German newspapers. It is the aim of the German government to convince its own people that it is this persecution of the Germans in Poland which compels Germany to aggression. At the same time, it is the wish of the German propaganda to place Poland in an unfavorable light in the eyes of her allies and of neutral countries. We refute categorically and firmly any allegation that the German minority in Poland is being ill-treated. We have to this allegation one short answer. It is false. There can be no question about the German minority in Poland being persecuted or terrorized. Poland's attitude to all her citizens is they are loyal is equal, without regard to their nationality. And all her citizens, whatever their origin, have full confidence in the Republic. The best confirmation of this is the loyal attitude of the Ukrainian minority, demonstrated lately during these critical days in the form of important decisions of political nature. Poland does not persecute the German minority, and cannot accord privileges to criminals for the only reason that their native language is that of Herr Hitler. A thief, profiteer, or hooligan of German origin must be placed in custody, even if he is nominated 100 times by the German royal propaganda, a downtrodden and terrorized member of the German minority. It is enough to recollect the incident when the murder of a Polish policeman in Upper Silesia, a certain Kalesa, a member of the Jungdeutsche Partei, was caught and arrested, and a German chef anointed him a national hero and a victim of Polish terror. But not only that. Out of this incident, a whole affair was created. The focus of the Obuster placed on the front page under the heading, Polish dandies murder a 5-month-old infant. Information about the torture undergone. A few days after, we could all see in our press a photograph of the healthy Mrs. Carletta with a perfectly healthy child in her arms, holding a copy of the number of a photo blockbuster containing the insane article. For the good of the real truth, to get a true view of the reality, we should look at the other side. It is a fact leaving no doubt whatsoever, and that it is no other than the Polish minority in Germany it is being terrorized and persecuted, not for sabotage and diverted action, but for the sheer fact of being a minority. We have many proofs of this, and ample information is given about it in the World Press, showing up the falsehood and lack of moral scruples of the German propaganda. To give an illustration of the sheer bestiality of the Germans, it is enough to remind you of the state of abuse and dishonor of the body of Michael Rozanowski, a Polish soldier shot by the Danzig customs officials. The Polish inquest found the body not only massacred, but also the dead man's stomach was filled with parts and members of other corpses, bits of straw, wood, and pieces of paper with inscriptions. This is no anti-German global propaganda, but the truth. That is what the Germans did with the body of a murdered Polish soldier. Never did a member of a civilized nation solve his conscience with a deed of this sort. Nothing so ghastly ever even entered the mind of a Pole. One can only classify through the system of German lying the method of showing in the German press photograph because a person has been made in the Polish concentration camp of a German minority. These photographs are said to have been made during this summer, which was exceptionally hot, but the trees in the camps have no leaves and the prisoners are wearing fur coats. Where is there a concentration camp for Germans in Poland? These pictures must have been made in Germany of camps for her own rebelling and hungry population. I can well remember when Marshal Kuczynski first saw Dr. Goebbels, the initiator of the present-day German propaganda method.
A time check. For the sound of the gong, it was 5 minutes past midnight Berlin time. The latest news from Berlin. At 7:15 this evening, the Führer once more received the British ambassador to Berlin, Sir Neville Henderson, at the new Reich Chancellery. It is learned from political circles in Berlin that on this occasion the Führer handed to the British ambassador the reply of the Reich government to the note of the British government, which had been conveyed to the Führer last night. It is stated that Reich Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop and Minister Schmidt, acting as interpreter, were also present at the reception. Sir Neville Henderson's visit to the Führer ended at 7:40 p.m., thus having lasted for 25 minutes. Generally well-informed quarters purport to know that the reply to yesterday's note of the British government will be supplemented by verbal statements on the German side. Reports of the persecution of Germans in Poland continue to fill the Berlin evening papers tonight. It is pointed out that, as the Führer had termed it, the Macedonic conditions in the corridor were still going on. The papers report on the shooting by Polish soldiers of 5 Germans who, as already announced, attempted to reach Reich territory by swimming across the River Warte. The Berlin correspondent of the Hamburger Fremdenblatt states that no actual change is to be noticed at the moment as to the general state of the crisis. Neither a change towards a relaxation nor to an intensification of the present condition. The exchange of views going on at present between Berlin and London is naturally being followed by the whole world with the closest attention. The paper emphasizes that only the removal of the old wounds, that is to say, the Danzig and corridor problem, would be able to create new conditions and more hopeful prospects for the general situation in Europe. The Deutsche Allgemeine Zeitung recalls the fact that the population of the corridor had at the time been prevented to hold a plebiscite. In the elections for the National Assembly in 1919, however, they had voted for Germany with a great majority. The terrorization of Germans by members of the Polish insurgents organization continues, according to reports in the Berlin press. Bomb outrages were committed upon the houses of two members of the German group in the town of Bielitz, Upper Silesia. Two Germans, Schauer and Pitofsky, were killed. Another, Polacek, was severely injured. It is stated that Polish border officials fired at German refugees in the district of Bobek-Kaus, East Upper Silesia, who had already reached German territory. Competent quarters in Berlin energetically refute some reports and rumors circulated by the Warsaw radio. It was alleged that the Polish consulates at Breslau and Marysz-Ostrów have been closed by the German authorities, and that the Polish consul and the vice consul of Marysz-Ostrów, respectively, have not been allowed to cross the frontier. Another report of the Warsaw radio alleged that provisions stores had been plundered in Berlin, and that numerous persons were arrested. It is expressly stated that these reports lack any foundation whatsoever and are pure invention from beginning to end. The Polish troops concentrated along the Danzig border are being constantly reinforced, according to reports from Danzig. Besides, three new main front lines have been set up towards East Prussia and the Reich. It appears that it is the Polish plan to launch an offensive upon Marienwerder, Riesenburg, and Deutsch-Eylau. The main force of the Polish army is concentrated on the corridor. The Poles have allegedly 2 million men now under arms. The Danziger Vorposten writes in this connection, taking into account the lack of discipline shown time and again by Polish troops, there is a danger that there will be serious frontier violations, even against the wish of the High Command of the Polish Army. Reports from various Polish camps of reservists in East Upper Silesia state that great confusion prevails among the men called to arms. The majority of the reservists still wear civilian clothes, the only outward sign that they are army men being a soldier's cap. The reports add that only a small portion of the Polish reservists could be supplied with arms, so that the soldiers have to lend their weapons to their comrades for training purposes. It is said that on account of the insufficient food supply, fighting and disobedience are the order of the day. The British Prime Minister, Mr. Chamberlain, stated in the House of Commons today that there has been but little change in the international situation since the last session of the House. The danger has not yet diminished. It will be the main principle of all further stages, so explained Mr. Chamberlain, to inform the House continuously on every development of the situation. In this connection, the British Prime Minister appealed to the English press to display the utmost reserve at a time when a few words may easily hamper all efforts made for a satisfactory solution of the crisis. No changes were made as regards the policy of the British government, so explained Mr. Chamberlain. The Premier then gave a report on the visit to the Führer of the British ambassador, Sir Neville Henderson. It had not been considered necessary in Berlin that Sir Neville Henderson should have returned to Berlin already on Saturday last. The German government was of the opinion that London was carefully studying the Berlin message. The British cabinet thus devoted Saturday and Sunday to a careful and exhaustive examination and discussion of the problem. The British Prime Minister then went on to say that the Führer in his message had expressed his desire for an Anglo-German understanding of a long and lasting character. On the other hand, however, the Führer had left no doubt as to his view regarding the urgency of a solution of the Polish problem. The British government had made it quite clear that Britain would fulfill her obligations towards Poland. Mr. Chamberlain explained that a publication of the correspondence between London and Berlin was at the moment not in the interest of the nation. The British government would welcome any opportunity to discuss the various viewpoints. The settlement, however, would depend upon the way and manner in which the actual differences with Poland could be overcome. The government was now waiting for a further reply of the Führer. The British Prime Minister said he had heard of press reports on the contents of the British reply to the Führer. Any such reports are free inventions from beginning to end. Mr. Chamberlain then stated that the entire Navy and Air Force were ready for action. It is to be hoped, however, that there will be a peaceful solution after all. Such a peaceful solution might be able to lead to a further understanding, and this in turn to a pacification of Europe and the world. Whatever there will be, war or peace, Great Britain will follow the course decided upon, emphasized Mr. Chamberlain. The English House of Commons, in which Mr. Chamberlain, as already announced, made a statement on the European situation this afternoon, was adjourned to Tuesday next week. If necessary, so explained Mr. Chamberlain, it will be summoned at an earlier date. Lord Halifax made a statement to the House of Lords similar to that of Mr. Chamberlain before the Commons. Prime Minister de Valera's statement regarding Irish neutrality has been confirmed once more by the official Irish Information Bureau. Ireland refuses to grant Great Britain the right to call to arms Irish subjects living in Great Britain. The North Irish Council addressed an appeal to President Roosevelt, asking him to exert his influence upon Britain in favor of the oppressed Irish. Great Britain's domination in the six counties of Northern Ireland, so explains the appeal, is a frightful tyranny, unparalleled anywhere else in Europe. It is expected in political circles of Dublin that Prime Minister de Valera will lay down Ireland's attitude in case of war in a statement to Parliament within the next few days. It is believed in Dublin that Mr. de Valera will express the wish of his government to observe neutrality. In this connection, reference is being made to a communique of the semi-official Irish Information Service, which especially emphasizes the will for Ireland's neutrality. It was officially announced in Oslo today that the National Bank of Norway decided to use no longer the rate of the English pound as a base for its quotations. In today's session of the two chambers of its Supreme Soviet, the new bill on agricultural taxation was moved and passed. There will be no session tomorrow. For Thursday noon, the two chambers have been summoned for a hearing of an address on a proposed law for general conscription. Political circles of Tokyo are of the opinion that the list of the new Japanese cabinet will not be published before Wednesday. It is understood that Monsieur Nobuyuki will be appointed Prime Minister and will simultaneously take over the foreign and the home ministries. Secretary of State in the German Foreign Office, von Weizsäcker, today informed the ministers of Denmark and Lithuania that, in a case of conflict, Germany would respect the neutrality of these states. The King of the Belgians and the Queen of the Netherlands, as stated in Brussels by the Belgian Premier on Tuesday, have offered their services for mediation to the governments of Germany, Italy, France, Britain, and Poland. The news bulletin in English of the German shortwave station Berlin has been concluded. We are following up with stock quotations for North America. The following prices were quoted at Hamburg on the 29th of August. Wheat and wheat bran not quoted. Lard, American steam lard transito from ship side, 18 United States dollars per 100 kilos. Copper standard per August, 55 three-quarter marks per 100 kilos. Lead soft delivery, 17 one-quarter pounds per long ton. Zinc unrefined 18¼ marks per 100 kilos. Bremen quoted cotton standard middling local 9.23 United States cents per pound. London gold quotation 157 shillings per ounce. The German shortwave stations Berlin are broadcasting today via stations DJB and DJD on the 19 and 25 meter bands. You've been listening to our news bulletin, that is our first news bulletin in English, and also to our stock quotations for North America. We're now switching back to Berlin National. But a time check first, 20 seconds to go, and with the sound of the gong, it will be 18 minutes past midnight Berlin time. Deutscher Kurzwellensender Berlin, unser Nachrichten- und Wirtschaftsdienst in englischer Sprache für Nordamerika ist beendet. Wir schalten zurück zum Deutschlandsender. Die genaue Zeit in 3 Sekunden mit dem Gongschlag. The Ministry of Public Works has once more advised the population of Paris to leave the capital. The decrees issued yesterday, which provide for a severe restriction of the telephone and telegram service, are being carried out with the greatest rigidity. All public telephones have been disconnected. It is no longer permitted to telephone from restaurants, cafes, and similar places. Trunk calls can be put through from post offices only upon presentation of identification papers. Telegrams to destinations outside France must be passed by the police. Traffic in the streets of Paris, too, shows the effects of the precautionary measures taken by the government. Horse-drawn vehicles have taken the place of almost all lorries. The semi-official Moscow news agency TASS, in a statement published today, denies all rumors spread abroad, and in particular by the Neue Zürcher Zeitung, alleging that Soviet Russian troops were being withdrawn from Western Russia and that 230,000 men had already been sent as reinforcements to Russia's far eastern borders. The semi-official Soviet Russian news agency declares to have been authorized by official Moscow quarters to state that these reports are not substantiated by facts. On the contrary, so the TASS agency says, the Soviet High Command, in view of the seriousness of the European situation and taking into account the possibility of various surprises, had decided to reinforce the troops in Western Russia. In a number of other TASS reports, attention is drawn to the feverish war preparations in Poland. The Polish state president, Mr. Moszycki, received this afternoon Marshal Rich Smigley, Premier Sklabowski, and Foreign Minister Beck for an important conference. The Führer received the Italian ambassador, Signor Attonico, this evening. The conversation at which the Reich Foreign Minister von Ribbentrop was present lasted 15 minutes. The Luxembourg Chamber has expressed its thanks to the German and the French governments for having guaranteed the neutrality of Luxembourg in the event of war. The political quarters in Bern are not quite clear as to France's attitude towards Switzerland in the event of war. So the Tribune de Genève declares today. The paper reports that the Swiss General Staff has suggested to the Swiss Federal Council to ask France for a declaration similar to those given to Switzerland by Germany and Italy. Usually well-informed quarters in Rome report that English pounds are no longer accepted by any bank in the Italian capital. Count Sarno today received the British ambassador in Rome, Sir Percy Lorraine, for a conversation of half an hour. Marshal Balbo, Governor General for Libya, has issued a decree today providing for a central supervision of the distribution of food supplies and for a control of prices. Foodstuffs of vital importance are to be stored and to be distributed equally to all inhabitants. The Viceroy of Ethiopia, the Duke of Aosta, arrived in Addis Ababa by plane today. According to a report circulated by the Agenzia Stefani, Italian papers are to be restricted from the 1st of September to issues of 6 pages at the most. The Polish authorities have severed practically all connections between East Upper Silesia and Germany. All telephone communication has been suspended. Letters and other mail in either direction is no longer forwarded by the Polish post. Railway traffic has likewise been suspended, and the usual traffic between towns and villages on either side of the frontier has stopped completely. Frontier police, detachments of the Polish insurgents, and 3 lines of soldiers hermetically close the frontier. All these measures are intended to prevent any information on the brutal terror in East Upper Silesia from penetrating across the frontiers. Foreign countries are to be informed on conditions in Poland solely by the tendentious reports broadcast by the Polish radio and by the Polish news agency. In reality, East Upper Silesia today presents the picture of a huge prison camp. Polish hatred is now turning against the Lithuanians too. It will be recalled that Poland has a Lithuanian minority of 300,000 in Wilna, which was forcibly annexed by Poland after the war. From Lithuanian sources, it is reported that the population on the border feared a repetition of the coup which led to the occupation of Wilna. In view of the concentration of Polish troops near the Lithuanian frontier, and in view further of the increased activity of Polish secret organizations within Lithuania. The foreign ministers of the 3 Baltic states will meet for a 3-day conference on the 8th of September to discuss the present serious situation. The foreign paper Bund reports to have been informed by delegates to the Zionist Congress in Geneva that the British authorities in Palestine had ordered the mobilization of 20,000 Palestine Jews for the protection of the mandate. From the same source, the paper reports further that the radical ban on immigration into the mandate had been suspended in favor of relatives of Jews already resident in Palestine. The anti-Jewish demonstrations in Antwerp have increased to such an extent that the police have had to resort to stricter measures. 1,000 armed policemen patrolled the city on Monday night. No more than 5 persons are allowed to stand together in the streets. In Brussels, too, there have been more anti-Jewish demonstrations. In the night from Monday to Tuesday, a bomb exploded in front of a Jewish restaurant. The United States Secretary of the Treasury, Henry Morgenthau, broke off his holidays today and returned to Washington on board a coastal patrol boat. This is Berlin calling via stations DJB and DJD. Our second news bulletin in English has been concluded.
Broadcast by shortwave station 203, 9.63 megadipoles, 31.13 meters. 204, 11.81 megacycles, 25.4 meters. 206, 15.3 megacycles, 19.61 meters. IRF, F for frequency, 9.83 megacycles, 30.52 meters. Here is today's news from the AIAD, the Italian Broadcasting System. Berlin. Chancellor Hitler today handed over to Ambassador Henderson the reply of the Reich government to the communication received from the British government last night. The reply, which was delivered at 7:15 this evening, was accompanied by some verbal explanations by the Führer. Minister von Ribbentrop was present at the conversation, which lasted about 20 minutes. London. The House of Commons, packed to its limit, assembled early this afternoon to hear from Prime Minister Chamberlain the anxiously awaited reply from Chancellor Hitler to yesterday's communication of the British government. The House, however, was informed by Mr. Chamberlain that the government was not yet in possession of it. The catastrophe, then said the Prime Minister, is not yet on us, but it cannot be said that the danger is past. Mr. Chamberlain warned the press to exercise the utmost caution and moderation in a moment in which even a few uncautious words from a smaller newspaper might destroy the results of the effort which the government is making towards attaining a satisfactory solution. Referring to the Führer's communication to the British government, Mr. Chamberlain stated that he would be glad to tell the House of the contents of the communication exchanged with the Reich Chancellor, but the members would readily understand that in a delicate moment like this, and while such a serious question are in the balance, it would not be in the public interest to make public these confidential communications or to divulge their details. Mr. Chamberlain went on to give a brief outline of these communications. The German Chancellor, he said, expressed to the British government his desire to reach a complete and lasting understanding with Great Britain. He, however, left no doubt about his determination to settle the German-Polish question as urgently as possible. Great Britain made plain that she was desirous to see a Polish-German accord materialize in a permanent way, but that all depended from the manner in which the Polish-German divergences would be handled. The British government restated at the same time that it was resolved to fulfill its obligations towards Poland. The London government has repeatedly stated that the Polish-German dispute could be settled in a peaceful manner, and that essential condition for this settlement was the elimination of the tension created by frontier incidents and exaggerated reports about these incidents. It is to be hoped, added Mr. Chamberlain, that both governments will use their best means in preventing such incidents from occurring and checking the spreading of exaggerated reports, whose only result was that of making the situation grow worse. The situation at this very moment, said the Prime Minister, is this. We are waiting for a reply from Chancellor Hitler to our latest communication. It depends on this reply whether it will be possible to give the several forces which are waiting for peace enough time to act. The alternative between peace and war remains. We are still hoping that peace will be maintained, and we shall work towards this. At the same time, we are resolving to follow the path we have set ourselves. Unquote. Moscow. The Tass news agency issued the following official statement tonight. I quote, several foreign newspapers have announced that the Soviet command has withdrawn from Russia's western frontier between 200,000 and 300,000 men, and has dispatched them to the east in order to strengthen the eastern frontier. The Tass agency has been authorized to state that such information is not true. Responsible quarters declare, on the contrary, that owing to the worsening of the situation in Eastern Europe and in view of any eventuality, the Soviet command has decided to reinforce the effective forces at the eastern frontier. Rome. A number of measures designed to save Italy's resources in view of the present situation were adopted today. Effective September the 3rd, private motor vehicles will not be allowed to circulate except for those supplied with special permits by the military authorities. Beginning tomorrow, public eating places may not supply more than one meat or fish plate. The number of the newspaper pages must not exceed 6 beginning next Thursday. Rome. An official communique issued tonight urges all those, especially old men, women, and children, who live in large cities of Piedmont, Lombardy, Liguria, Tuscany, the Lazio, Campania, Sicily, and Sardinia, and who are in a position to move to smaller towns or to the countryside, to do so by availing themselves of means of transportation while these are still available. Lithuania. Poland is feverishly constructing fortifications along her frontier with Lithuania, for fear that the latter may attempt a coup towards regaining possession of Vilno. Telephone communications between Poland and Lithuania have been suspended. The Lithuanian government has called 8 classes of reservists to the colours. London. The British government has ordered that the telephone communications between Italy and Great Britain and between France and Great Britain be suspended. An exception is made for the telephone services of the official news agencies. The postal service between Italy and Malta has been interrupted, according to a Reuters announcement this afternoon. Lisbon. Responsible quarters and the public opinion in general expect that Portugal will remain neutral if a European war breaks out. Spain's attitude is followed with keen interest in Portugal, owing to the latter's pact with the neighboring country. Paris. General Wacom has been entrusted by the French government with a special mission in the Near East. He departed from Paris for Beirut today. He was received by President Lebrun before his departure. The Hague, Holland. The Dutch government has placed an embargo on gasoline and kindred products. Berlin. The ministers of Denmark and Lithuania have received assurances by State Secretary Weizsäcker that Germany will respect the neutrality of their countries. The German minister to Copenhagen has made a similar communication to the Danish government. Warsaw. Much interest has been aroused by the suggestion of the semi-official newspaper Gazeta Polska that the problem of the German and Polish minorities in Poland and Germany, respectively, might be solved by an exchange of these minorities. It should be effected gradually so as to avoid any violent methods. Brussels. The Premier and Foreign Minister Pierlo confirmed officially tonight that King Leopold of Belgium and Queen Wilhelmina of the Netherlands have offered their mediation for a friendly solution of the present difficulties in Europe. An accord between the King and the Queen to this effect was reached last night following a telephone conversation, after which Premier Pierlo called the ambassadors of Italy, Germany, Great Britain and France, and the Minister of Poland to his office and informed them of the decision of the two sovereigns. London. In consequence of the British Admiralty's order forbidding British merchantmen to cross the Mediterranean, the vessels from Australia are now obliged to lengthen their route about 10%, those from India and China about 65%, and those from East Africa about 45%. Bucharest. The Romanian press is looking anxiously towards Rome in the hope that a peaceful solution of the present crisis may come from Il Duce. The newspaper Curentul expresses the belief that peace may still be saved thanks to Il Duce's decisive intervention. Italy, says the paper, is an active factor more than ever. Italy is the land characterized by her keen sense of measure. It will be Italy who will succeed in keeping the sinister ghost of war away from us. Bern. The presentation of men to the colors as a result of the mobilization is proceeding calmly and orderly in Switzerland. Besides the frontier troops, the mobilization includes also blasting engineers and aerial observers. Much surprise has been caused by the fact that up to this morning, France has taken no steps towards informing the Bern government of a resolve to respect Switzerland's neutrality in the same manner as Germany did last week. Ankara. The Turkish cabinet held a 3-hour session today. An official statement was issued at the conclusion of the meeting. It was reported that the cabinet had taken no definite decision and seemed to be resolved to wait for further developments before deciding on the country's final stand. And that concludes our news bulletin in English this evening.